staff were flowing through the door. I can remember not even having to advertise. I was flying off the handle a lot. I was feeling very frustrated. I'd lost my passion for what I was doing. I was drowned by the business. It gives us clarity on what's important to us.
Imagine this. A stylist or therapist walks through your door holding a CV. You have a long wait list of clients waiting for an appointment. Sounds like a dream, right? The perfect scenario. But after 15 years of managing a large team and running a salon business, often people start to feel overwhelmed and burnt out. It's easy to lose all of the passion. You started your salon because you loved doing hair or beauty and working with clients, but now you're spending more time looking at spreadsheets, well, you should be, than interviewing people, and family time seems like a distant memory. It's easy to forget your why. So I'm excited to introduce you to a holistic life coach. Her name's Sonia, and after 15 years of running her salon, she lost her passion. She's going to share with us some of her strategies and tips on remembering your why. Why did you start? And her journey that led her to owning her salon for more than 10 years. Here is Recovering from Burnout, the episode. But wait, before we start, I just want to let you know that this episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast is brought to you by Salon Mastery, The Boardroom. Now, The Boardroom is for salon owners who have already reached the $1 million mark and are looking for clear leadership strategies to elevate your salon, maybe even reach the $3 million mark. The sky's the limit. Join us for our closed-door conversations with easy-to-implement leadership strategies, regular workshops geared specifically to the problems and challenges that only million-dollar salons face. Apply now. There's a button in the show notes. All right, on to the episode, Recovering from Burnout.
Sonia, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Pleased to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me, Larissa. It's my pleasure.
So let's start with, where are you in the world? What do you do? What did you do? And how did you transition?
Okay, so I'm in Ireland, in Cork, down south of Ireland on this rainy little island. Beautiful, but very wet. I've lived in Ireland for 25 years. I was born here in Cork, but I lived in the UK for many years. And I started actually my hair career when I was in the UK at 15 and then came back to Ireland and continued then with my apprenticeship from Ireland here where I'm based in Cork. Yeah.
And I believe that you were a salon owner.
I was. I went into the industry very young. I was just 15, started off doing Saturdays like many of us in the industry. And to be honest, I was never someone who always knew I wanted to be a hairdresser. I didn't know what I wanted to do, to be quite honest. I just knew that I didn't want to be in school. So I left school early and kind of fell into a job in a salon doing Saturdays and very quickly fell in love with it. I loved the buzz of the salon, the creativity, the excitement and the passion. And realized actually that this would be something that I could do forever more, I thought. So I stayed in the salon industry doing hair and running my own salon was 25 years doing hair and 20 years of that was having my own salon. But the story with opening my own salon, again, I never really had that big dream to have my own salon. I was a very young mom. I had my first child when I was just 18. And so I was in the middle of training to be a hairdresser with Tony and Guy. And I remember my boss at the time calling me into the staff room and saying, Sonia, you know, you're so close to qualifying. We hope you come back after having your baby. We'll do everything we can to support you. It would be such a shame for you to pack it all in, you know, we'll fast track you and get you qualified. So I was qualified at 19 with Tony and Guy here in Cork, and I just loved every minute of it. We did a lot of traveling because obviously Tony and Guy being an international company, I spent a lot of time up and down to Dublin, over to London. I had great support with my family being a young mom, you know, that was very important. And I knew that I had chosen a career that was going to really support me and give me a great lifestyle. I loved the social aspect of it. And when my daughter was about to start school, I realized that getting up really early and bringing her into the city salon that I was working in at the time was going to be a lot of effort, a lot of work. You know, I might have to try and sort my schedule so that I could do all of that and then still keep my busy column running. And a very good client of mine said to me one day, "Sonia, I have a fabulous premises where you're living. It would be fab for a salon. Would you be interested?" And I had never had a desire to have my own salon. And I thought, okay, I'll have a look at it and I'll see. I was 22 with a five-year-old child and went and had a look at the premises and decided, yeah, you know what? I could feel excited. The energy was good. So that if it doesn't work out, just throw the key back in the door. There's no problem. You don't even have to sign a lease. So I dived in head first. I knew I had a good clientele, but would they follow me? It was half an hour drive from the city. I took a chance. I had a good feeling on it. And within 2 years of opening that salon, I fell pregnant with my second child. So I was now 24 with two kids. I had 15 staff at this point. A lot of responsibility. The salon was thriving. We were absolutely smashing it because where I live in Cork, at the time, there wasn't many salons that would have been that city standard, you know? And so I wanted to recreate something like that Tony and Guy city vibe in the suburbs, which I did manage to do. And it was fabulous. I was very lucky with staff. That was back in the day when staff were flowing through the door. I can remember not even having to advertise. I had people walking in the door with their CVs and, you know, we had a waiting list of clients waiting for appointments and it was very, very successful. And to bring you into where I am now and how I came out of the salon, about probably 15 years into having that salon, I realized that I was very overwhelmed. I was extremely burnt out. I hadn't been prioritizing my self-care on a deep level. So my emotional well-being, my mental well-being wasn't great. I was flying off the handle a lot. I was feeling very frustrated. I'd lost my passion for what I was doing. I was drowned by the business. And on reflection now, I realize I got a little lost with what I actually wanted from the business. So I decided to go and have some life coaching and I hired a business coach and I went and I did a week-long retreat in Malaga where I immersed myself in yoga, meditation, breath work. And I came back from that retreat realizing that this is how I'm supposed to feel. This is what it feels like to feel relaxed and to feel calm. I hadn't felt that way for a long, long time. So I made a lot of changes. I restructured my business. I set some boundaries. I stopped people pleasing. I realized that me as the salon owner was the most valuable asset within that salon business. And I couldn't sustain things the way they were. So I had to make a lot of change. So I did that. And then I realized the transformation that was happening within me and within my life. So I went and I studied life coaching, business coaching, and did yoga teacher training, meditation, breathwork, all the tools basically that helped me to come through that period of my life. I wanted to shout it from the rooftops and tell everybody, this is what you have to do. So with that training, then I combined all of my tools into a holistic, what I call, I guess, like a holistic coaching practice. And I was between my salon business and my clients who were salon industry professionals because of my background in the salon business. And that was building very quickly, but I was still dipping in and out of the salon. And then COVID hit and I was at home full-time coaching. And I realized it was time to step away from the salon. So here I am. I've been out of the salon 3 years now. And I had bought my salon premises, so I now rent it to two ladies who actually were working for me. And so they're running a very successful business down there. And it's so lovely to see it still as a salon. There's a bit of nostalgia there. And yeah, now full time, I'm working with predominantly salon owners in taking care of their well-being. I run business retreats, workshops. I do team sessions around Ireland. I'm working a little bit in the UK as well and a lot of online work supporting leaders. So that's my story in a nutshell. Yeah.
It's a great story, and I think one that many people will resonate. And I think the part that struck me the most is, you know, losing ourselves in amongst it all. You know, where do I fit in now? Because we're constantly trying to grow, make ends meet, keep the people happy, hire, fire, all of the things. And it's a lot of output. And yeah. I too had a similar experience. And I work with salon owners now who hit that wall. It's like, what do I actually want here? And I really liked what you said around, actually, it's really about energy and how you feel. So I want to dig into that a little bit more, because you can have all of the tools in the world, business tools, but if there's no energy, I recognize that this is a really important word, there's no energy to feel good about it, to wake up and have energy, or there's exhaustion all the time. Anyway, I want to explore that, because that's clearly the missing piece. So how would you define this missing piece, which we are calling energy? Like, how does that show up in people's world when there is lack of?
Yeah, energy management is a big part of the work I do. I guess I can come at this from a few different angles. So energy management, when I'm teaching this with my clients, it's about looking at your energy and how you support your energy day to day through the use of well-being tools. So for example, our well-being energy enhancers would be, you know, much of the obvious ones, the hydration, eating well, sleeping well, making sure that you're getting a little bit of movement, you know, what you're listening to, who you're hanging out with, the company culture within your business. There's so many different ways that we can support ourselves. And one of the big pieces that I see as lacking when I meet clients who are feeling very burnt out, very overwhelmed, and uninspired is actually they've forgotten their why, and they have become very consumed with the mundane day to day of the business. As you said, you know, the staff and the wages and all of that. And actually, when we look back at, you know, what brought us into the industry, and for me, it was really about the creativity and the, you know, the social side of it, the excitement, the people, the connection. Business wasn't actually something that at the time I was super excited about. And yet I found myself completely saturated with business lists, endless lists. And I certainly lacked delegation, which is a big part of what we use in the well-being tools and salon leadership now, is actually delegating the things that maybe other people within the team are good at, so that you can actually manage your energy as a leader and prioritize the things that you do enjoy doing, if and when possible, you know. And so many people say to me, Larissa, I'm so struggling with time. I'm so time poor, you know, that maybe they've got a lot of staff to manage. They've got kids at home. They're trying to have a social life. They're trying to take care of their health. And we know, you know, it's a lot. It is a lot. And if you don't have a clear vision of what it is that you want from your business and what it is that you are willing to sacrifice, then you can get very lost in all of that. So, you know, knowing what your values are and really bringing everything back into what that is, what is it that's actually important, and what is it that's driving us? A quote I heard recently that I love, I think it was Stephen Bartlett shared it, are we being driven or dragged? And I think I can see I was certainly dragged for the last few years of my business. But yeah, the energy management piece is so, so important, and it's one that I see overlooked quite a lot.
Hey, Larissa here. If you're loving this episode so far, I'm super glad, and I'm glad that you're here, and thanks for joining me each week. Now, super quick, I have a question for you. If you are ready to elevate your salon, maybe reach the $1 million mark or more, I have a few strategies that I would love to share with you. I know they'll help. Sounds good. All you need to do is click the apply now button in the show notes of this episode to book a strategy call with me. It's free for starters. Let's get back to the episode.
Yes, even just knowing that it's a thing to think about and to prioritize, like we understand what stress is or anxiety is, but yeah, thinking about this thing called energy and how important it is to have some and what it's attached to, I think is refreshing. Let's talk a little bit about stress though. what are some things that we can think about that may lower the stress? Because especially if you're, well, the bigger the team, the bigger the stress, often they say, or the bigger the workload, the bigger the stress. And what's something that owners who are listening can just do quickly to offload a little bit? What would you suggest?
Yeah. Okay. I've got a couple of great tools that I have found so useful when we're in a time of real overwhelm, panic, stress, and I do see a lot of anxiety. It's, you know, it can be a very fast-paced industry, and certainly anxiety is quite common. So using your breath, simple box breathing, and actually taking a moment, I like to call them a mindful minute, just taking a mindful minute where you can, you know, if you can step away. I remember going into the toilet just for 1 minute, closing out the door, using my essential oils. Your essential oils are a great tool for emotional support because their sense of smell is your primal sense. So using grounding blends of oils, I've got all my salon clients now using essential oils, and just taking a moment to actually breathe properly into your abdominal area, because we're quite often breathing very shallow. I think most of us are only using 30% of our lung capacity, which is not surprising that so many people are experiencing anxious feelings and, you know, feeling that they're out of breath. So just taking a moment to actually properly breathe down into your abdominal area. And it's funny because when I have clients, even on a Zoom call like this, and I see them log in and the shoulders are up, and you can almost see the fast pace of their breath. And the first thing I'll say is, drop your shoulders, close your eyes, go inwards, and just focus on your breathing for a moment, because we can completely calm our central nervous system through the breath. So breathing, essential oils, meditation is a big one. Meditation, I would honestly say, changed my life. It literally really helped me to realize the power that I had within myself to actually ground my energy and bring me out of that fight or flight, which I think I lived in for probably about 20 years, Larissa. I definitely lived there for a long time.
Yeah, for sure. You and me both. I want to talk about the relationship between motivation, energy and stress. But before we do, talk to me about meditation. It's not something that I've ever been able to nail, to be fair. I haven't tried a lot. So I don't understand it deeply. I just have this picture of someone who's got shoulders up, you know, lots of tension, trying to relax, and that being quite a hard thing to do. So if somebody was feeling like that and thought, okay, I'm going to give this a go, where would you even start? Because, you know, I think about times that I'm like that. How can I keep focused for a short period of time when there's so many things in my mind? What are your thoughts on just the basics?
Yeah, meditation made simple is a workshop I ran for quite a while, because I had so many people reaching out to me saying exactly as you've just said. And sometimes we overcomplicate it. We do, you know. Meditation doesn't have to look like that perfect yogi sitting in that position overlooking some stunning lake somewhere. You know, it's something that whatever brings you in to presence. So how I like to explain it is, whether it is, you know, uncomfortable for you, which it is for a lot of us, because we're so used to doing and constantly having to be productive, that chatter that tells us you're being lazy. Why are you sitting down? The washing needs to go on, or you need to do this, or you need to do that. It's really, really challenging at the start. I remember sitting on that very first retreat that I went on and feeling so many uncomfortable emotions and wanting to get up, because it was not comfortable to sit there for so long. And actually, how I recommend people starting out is start really small. So if you just sat or laid on the bed and got yourself into a really nice, comfortable position, keeping your spine nice and tall, just checking in with your breathing and just noticing how your physical body feels. And the more you find your thoughts creeping in, as they do, you know, we can't switch them off. Even now, I've been meditating for years and the thoughts still come in. And actually, sometimes it's in those moments of presence when the thoughts do come in, they can be quite useful, actually. So I have my journal next to me when I'm meditating now, because when we remove the distractions that are going on all of the time, we're being pulled in every direction. we close our eyes and just simply go inwards, that is actually when a lot can come up for us that's really useful. But without having to get so fixed on what the thoughts are saying to us, you know, you can notice them and then anchor back into the breath. So this is why the breathing is so useful in actually anchoring, bringing us out of that monkey mind and back down into the body. Another explanation that I've used, and I've seen a lot of people find this one really useful, if you really don't find the sitting in silence or even with a guided meditation good, getting out and going for a walk, but being fully present in what you're doing, noticing the color of the sky, the birds, feeling the air on your skin, noticing the people around you without being caught up listening to, you know, a podcast or feeling that you have to do something as well, using it as a mindful walk, or even highlighting. A lot of my clients say to me, when I ask the question, what brings you into presence? What are the things that you do day to day that you actually really go inwards and feel you're into your thoughts, but you're feeling grounded and you're feeling calm? And highlighting comes up a lot. Remember, you know, I remember weaving ahead of highlights and feeling so engrossed in what I was doing. You know, it's interesting. So it can be cooking. It can be just looking at the colors and being present. The whole idea around meditation is to pause, is to be present in what we're doing, because we're so busy in today's world. We are so distracted. And it's about finding what feels right for you and then experimenting with it. Try different ways. One size doesn't fit all, as they say.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. All right. Let's talk about the correlation between goals, feeling motivated, that helps us move away from stress. What's the relationship there?
With goal setting. Yeah. So as I said earlier, I think when we don't have goals to work towards, we can become very stagnant and very uninspired and bored. A lot of people I've worked with are very bored. And so setting ourselves goals, whether that's in our businesses or our personal lives or with our health, setting ourselves goals gives us a focus. It gives us clarity on what's important to us, because whatever goals we're setting, it's really useful to see where we can link them into a value, something that's really important to us. So if someone comes to me and says, Sonia, I really want to start getting up at 6 a.m. I really want to start meditating. I'll ask them, okay, why? Why do you want to do that? Oh, I don't know. I just see that everybody's doing it. And yeah, I think I should probably be doing it. So it's, you know, bringing it back to the why. I love the phrase as well, our why should make us cry. It has to be something that's like really meaningful, that hits the heart. And for me, my why back then in practicing all of what I learned was actually to show up as a better person for the people I love and for myself. And that was close to my heart, because I knew that by me taking care of myself and working on myself, it was showing to those that I love, my family, like my children, like they're watching, they're looking at what I'm doing. So I wanted to be the best that I could be for the people around me. And so, you know, as I said, every client that comes and says, this is what I want to do, let's dig into the why. Why is it you want to do that? And then looking at realistic goals, you know, rather than overwhelming ourselves with this massive thing that we want to do, breaking it down into bite-sized chunks and then rewarding ourselves on the little wins along the way. So when my clients are checking in, we'll always look at what went well. We tend to go to the negative bias. Oh, I didn't do this. I know I should have done that. I shouldn't have done this. What do? We all do it. And it's about training the mind to see, actually, what did go well? What did you do well? You know, what are the things that we're proud of? So I think goals are really important in keeping us inspired and excited for the future.
Which then drives energy. Because I know that if I'm, I'm clear about where I'm going, I'm inspired about what I do, I can do the long hours and I can, you know, stay the late nights and I'll get up early and I can do that. But if I'm not clear about what I'm doing, it just feels like hard work, then I'm exhausted. And so again, it comes back to energy, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It does. It's what gets us out of the bed in the morning. Yeah, it gets
exactly.
Us jumping out of the bed with fire in the belly.
Yeah, exactly. This is how how we should be living. So as a business owner yourself, what is a quote or a mantra or something that keeps you on the straight and narrow and focused? What can you share?
Remember why you started. My favorite one. It's the why. It's always back to the why. I remember going through a period when I had my salon and things were feeling really, really hard, really hard. And I was between this business and the hair business. And there was days when I would be putting on my makeup to go down to the salon and I'd be wiping tears while putting foundation on my face, because it was just, I knew that things had to really shift for me. And I always brought it back to, why are you doing this? I had photographs of my family up on my dressing table. Everything was, remember why you started, because I do think a lot of us can get very lost along the way. And if we just remind ourselves of that version of ourselves that started from day one and what that vision was, what was it? And is that still the vision that you have? Why did you start? Or why do you want to keep going? What is the vision going forward, you know?
Yeah. Because often the why can change, especially after a long period of time. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's a book or a podcast you've listened to recently that you think all salon owners should get their hands on or ears on?
I love Simon Sinek. I love his teachings. And I've read a couple of his books, but my favorite so far has been Leaders Eat Last. Love that.
Okay. Where can we find you? I know people are going to want to stalk you. What's your dub and your socials?
So Instagram, I'm Sonia Magner Coaching. Sonia Magner Coaching. That's it. And my website is soniamagnercoaching.com. And I am on LinkedIn, but I'm not so active. Instagram and TikTok, I'm not so active. Instagram's the main one.
All right. I love that. So this has been great today. I love that we've talked about managing energy, managing self, making sure we're stress-free. And something that you said that really stood out to me is like, you are the most important person in your business. And that's not from an ego point of view, but that's the most important person to manage self, presence, being stress-free, motivation, all of those things. Otherwise, nothing else can follow.
Absolutely.
The tone of our chat today.
Yeah, because it comes from the top. And how can we motivate, lead and inspire our team if we're not feeling that ourselves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I appreciate our chat today, Sonia. It's been great to connect.
Thank you so much for having me on, Larissa. It was very enjoyable. Thank you.
And that's a wrap. Who else is going to try and incorporate a mindful minute into their day? I know that I certainly am. I know as a salon owner, we can go through ups and downs where everything just feels like it's really hard and we no longer have the passion to run our salon because it's a slog. I know that I certainly felt like that several times in my own salon. I even wanted to sell 5 times. But I hope after this episode, you feel a little bit inspired to reflect and find your why once again. Thanks again, Sonia, for joining us on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. And I'm super excited about what's to come from this episode for you, because not just in the industry, but the world. In the world, we've seen a shift towards more work-life balance and taking some time for ourselves. Now, Sonia did say managing our energy and remembering to find our new why is what will help us keep going. So I hope that you will take a moment to practice a mindful minute today. And I'll see you next week on the podcast. Ciao for now.